The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Chat with a Cat. We've had kind of a season off. This is episode 32. We're coming to you just before the start of season number 9. This is the 1988 season, and I had something I wanted to talk about, so I'm going to talk about it. And that something is the expansion draft. We had an expansion in the off season. This is being recorded roughly 20 minutes after the Hornets posted their list of players that they selected in the expansion draft. So what I want to do is I want to go through how would I have approached the expansion draft. I'm not going to look at their roster just yet. I'm going to take a look at the players they had available and just kind of react in real time. What do I think? How do I value these players? Then I'm going to try to put together a list, kind of as I go, and we'll see how close my list winds up being to the actual Hornets roster. So without further ado, we're going to just jump right into it. The first team was the Hawks. They exposed Darwin Cook. Cook is a player that is an excellent defender, but very limited offensively. The Hawks have been trying to shop and move him for a couple of seasons, but haven't had any takers, which is probably why they decided to expose him. You get the feeling that the Hawks would really like to be rid of Darwin's salary, although with the upcoming maximum contracts getting close to the $3 million range for players under 6 years of service and players over 6 years of service being able to get $3 million, $1.2 million, with a team option doesn't sound too bad to me. So I don't see a reason not to pick him based on contract, because you're only going to have him for a year. If you can flip him, great. If not, also great. And you get a player that I think is an interesting choice as a two-guard, because he's got excellent handles and passing for a two-guard, is a great perimeter defender, maybe shoots a little more than you'd like and shoots more poorly than you'd like. But if you can get some other guys that are going to take the majority of the shots, I think Cook can be a quality defender. So I think, is this a player I would consider taking or not? I think Cook is definitely a player I consider taking. So I'm going to put him on the list of players. Right now I would say, I would want to take him. So let's move on to the next team. That's the Celtics. They exposed just one player, and they exposed Ralph Lewis. Ralph Lewis was clearly kept on just for the expansion draft. He's a second-round pick, has no noticeable skills, is an orange player. Unless I need to conserve my cap space, I'm just going to pass on Ralph Lewis. There's not much more analysis to do there. That was a player that was just out there as a sacrificial lamb, and I don't think you take him up on it. So next is the Chicago Bulls. They exposed three players. They exposed Keith Lee, who's a yellow. They exposed Harold Presley, who's a young yellow-green. And they exposed Lewis Lloyd, who's a 29-year-old blue. So the first one I would look at is Presley. Presley has some B potentials in offensive rebounding and steals. He's kind of C everywhere else. He's on a rookie deal. Obviously young enough to make a jump or two. He's certainly a player I would consider if I was trying to conserve cap space. He's nothing special, but if you have to make a pick, he's not going to hurt you on the cap. And who knows, he might get boosted one or two times in training camp over the next couple of years. So he's a gamble. He's nothing now, but it's low risk, medium reward, I guess. The more intriguing player is Lewis Lloyd. This is a former Chicago Bull. He is a Chicago Bull. He's a former Milwaukee Buck who bounced around to the Celtics and then to the Bulls. He's down from his glory days in 1984 of averaging 22 points a game. An exceptional jump shooter, pretty good defender, not a great defender. Kind of a mediocre all-around player. His salary is almost $1.6 million just for a year. So he's a short-term solution. If you need a player, sure, take him, I guess. But I don't see any compelling reason to necessarily want him on the roster. In fact, if I'm picking Lloyd because he doesn't have any really outstanding skill, I probably would go with Presley, who also doesn't have any outstanding skill. Lloyd is the much better player, don't get me wrong. But Lloyd's a one-year rental on a high contract. Presley is a guy with 2 years left on a rookie deal, has the chance to make a jump or two. So I would consider Presley before I would consider Lloyd. Presley will not be high on my list, but I've got to at least think about it. So with that, we'll go to the next team. That was the Cleveland Cavaliers. They exposed Chris Welp and Jay Vincent. Chris Welp is a 24-year-old yellow center on another second-round pick. I don't think you really want to look at him. Jay Vincent, though, I really, really like. So we talked a couple minutes ago about contracts. He's on a flat $1.5 million contract. He's 29 years old, so he's going to start declining as his contract continues. But when he's gotten 30 minutes a game, at least after his rookie season, he's been able to score 20 points a game. To me, he's averaging 20 points, nearly 7 rebounds last season. On a half a max contract, that's a guy that can be your centerpiece for the next 3 years and keep you afloat. If I'm going for a tank and try to get draft picks, I would maybe go somewhere else. But I actually really like Jay Vincent as kind of an offensive centerpiece. He's a good rebounder. He's not an awful defender. Again, at 29, he'll probably decline a little bit next year. And then you'll really see the declines the 2 years after that. But maybe you feature him. He averages 25. You can flip him for something. But for the remainder of his contract, I really like Jay Vincent as a piece. Next up is the Dallas Mavericks. They exposed Dallas Comegis. This is a first-round draft pick. Really no special skills to speak of. He can block shots, and that's about it. Doesn't have great scoring numbers. Rebounding is mediocre to bad. Defense is bad for a big man. I think you can do better. You maybe pick him if you need to get to 8 players because he's not going to hurt your cap. But I'm not excited about him. I wouldn't really consider him much beyond that. So let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets exposed Dennis Johnson. This is another interesting one. I could consider DJ, and here's why. He's a green. He's an aging player. He's 33. He's going to decline next year. But what he does give you is a player that can score, a player that can handle the rock, a player that can still defend at his age, and he's only on a one-year deal. So for this year, he's probably a good backup combo guard, and at $1.1 million, that's not going to break the bank. There are probably players I would like more than him, but I'm not going to dismiss him out of hand. I think he's the kind of player that I at least have to consider as potentially my 8th or 9th man, maybe even a 7th man. I don't think I want him to be my 6th man off the bench, but if he's backing up both my guard positions, I can think of worse things. Next up is the Detroit Pistons. They exposed Leroy, don't call him Puffy, Combs. And Combs, so he's a yellow-green, but I really like picking up Combs as an option here because you'll pick him up with his RFA rights next year. As a yellow-green, he's not likely to get a lot of attention, but you know what he's really, really good at? He's an amazing defender. He's almost like a Terry Tyler Light in that he's got a 54 post defense, a 74 perimeter defense, 100 steals, 80 blocks. If you don't need him to score and you've got other rebounders, which you can get, I really like him as a defensive specialist. And when I'm putting together an expansion team, what I want is guys where I can see a clear role. He's cheap. Maybe you don't pick up his RFA rights now that I take a look at it, because it looks like the Pacers originally had him. They declined his option, and he was traded over. So you don't have RFA rights, but what you do have is an inexpensive player that maybe can slide under some radars. And if you pair him with Cook from the Hawks, you could have a really nasty defensive backcourt. If you consider you might have DJ backing them both up, he's a step back than either of them defensively. But I don't know. I really like the idea of a Cook-Combs backcourt, at least, you know, as I'm starting to look through things as a defensive monster for other teams to deal with. Next up is the Golden State Warriors. They exposed Scott Roth. Scott Roth is another guy that was obviously kept on a rookie contract just to be available for the draft. Has a B potential in steals. Everything else is pretty bad. He's not really worth looking at on your roster. The only reason you pick him is if you just needed to fill roster spots without eating up your cap. But really not worth looking deeply into. Next up is the Houston Rockets with Frank Johnson. 78 appeared out of nowhere to make sure it was clear that Frank was available. Frank's an interesting character. He's been kind of ridiculed ever since his draft selection. He's on a contract that isn't unreasonable. It's a little over $500,000. Frank has nice ball handling and passing, okay defense. Looking at him, I kind of like him as maybe a cheaper Dennis Johnson. So as I look more at him, maybe instead of DJ, at half the price, I can get Frank, and I'm getting much the same thing. I'm getting a guy who can handle the ball, who can score a little bit, and who is a good but not great defender. He's a little younger than DJ. So, yeah, on second blush, I think Frank Johnson would be the guy I would pick over DJ. Again, just kind of keeping with that theme of a defensive-minded backcourt. Next up is the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers exposed Jeff Malone, which I think was a little bit of a surprise, as he is probably their best player. And he's on a fairly decent contract. He's making less than $1 million this season, less than $1 million next season. He's got a team option, so if it doesn't work out, you can just let him go. The problem, such as it is with Jeff, is he, if we're building a defense team, he does not fit that. He does not defend. What he does do, though, is he does score the ball. I think I like Jay Vincent a little better as a more rounded player, but Jeff Malone would be a fine Rocket scorer off the bench, kind of the microwave. He'd be a decent piece to have on a roster, just to make sure you've got enough scoring punch. You could try to go all offense with Vincent and Malone and try to give teams a different look. So I would have to consider Jeff Malone as one of my selections. Again, I think the offensive potential there, especially compared with the contract that is large but not excessive, I think it's fine to pay for a player that can average 20 points a game. Next up is the Kings. They expose Reggie Williams. He's on a rookie contract. I happen to think he's green-blue. I think that blue rating might cause him to be a little bit overrated. He's an okay scorer, a pretty good defender, not a great defender. But the productivity just wasn't there on a Kings team where you didn't have a ton of other options. He only averaged 11 points a game last season and 3.7 fouls. So I have my concerns about Reggie Williams. That said, he's a young player. He could get a training camp boost. I think, would I take him? I'm not excited about him now. But if I'm trying to pick up assets that I think might appreciate, I think I have to consider Reggie Williams. So for now, we're going to leave him on the list of players I have to consider. And being on a rookie contract makes it good, too. Next up is the Lakers. They exposed John Paxson. Just one thing to say here. It's a trap. Paxson makes almost $1 million a season. and he averaged 16 points and 5 points a game. He does have great handles and passing ability, but there are other players with similar ability on the board. Not nearly the offensive player Jeff Malone is, not nearly the defender some of the other guys are. There's just, he shoots jumpers well, but look at his field goal percentage last 2 years, 43%. Jumpers aren't a great way to make a living in the current iteration of the NPBSL, so I have to pass on Johnson, or on Paxson, rather. Next up is the Bucks. The Bucks decided to expose Kenny Gattison and Norm Nixon. Norm Nixon is another guy who kind of fits the Frank Johnson, Dennis Johnson mold. Good ball handler, good scorer, slightly above average defender, a little past his prime. I think he's probably the worst of the three. He is the cheapest of the three, though, so there is that. If it comes down to worrying about cash, I could see myself taking Nixon. All in all, though, I would rather have either of the Johnsons. So Nixon is not the pick here. Kenny Gattison is a yellow. You know, he's on a rookie contract, does have some potential in rebounding, but I think, you know, he's not the pick here either. So I would give the players the Bucks are making available a pass. The Nets, are the next up. They exposed Brian Rausum, who's an orange second-round pick. You don't want to get involved with him. And Kevin Duckworth, who does intrigue me a little bit. He's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. He's never really gotten a chance to play. He has decent inside potentials. He's a little below average for a big man at rebounding, post defense, and block shots, but he's not awful. He could be a backup center, I think. And on a rookie deal, getting a backup center is probably fine. So if you're asking me, you know, do I want to consider Kevin Duckworth? I do. Is he going to be a starter for me? No. Is he going to be a key piece for me? No. But he's young. He has the ability to pop in training camp like anybody else who's young. And I have a role for him as probably my second big man off the bench. So, I would be happy to take him. Next up is the Knicks. The Knicks exposed Mitchell Anderson. Mitchell is a yellow on a one-year deal. Does have that perimeter defense steal combination that we've seen out of some of the other players. Adds to that rebounding, which is kind of intriguing. The thing is, he's 27. He's not likely to get better. He's only on a one-year deal. He's not much of an asset, and I don't think he could be my 12th man. I don't think I have a real role for him, so I'm going to leave him off. I'm sure there's going to be more players that I'm interested in later, and he doesn't excite me, so I have to move on from him. Next up is the 76ers. They expose Ricky Pierce. This is another player that is offensively gifted when given the minutes. In Philly, he only played 27 minutes last year, but if you look back when he was averaging in the 30s, he was averaging close to 20 points a game. My concern with him is he's a bit of a one-dimensional scorer, and at $1.65 million annually, he's a one-dimensional offensive player. He's a little better on defense than Jeff Malone, but I would rather have Jeff Malone at half the price tag. So in a vacuum, if I was looking at scorers, maybe I'd be looking at Ricky Pierce. But with Jeff Malone also on the board, I can't go with Pierce in good conscience. If the contract were lower or if it went longer and I thought I could flip him for something, maybe. But yeah, Ricky Pierce just doesn't do anything for me at this point. If I'm an expansion team, I need guys that either are young and can pop or can carry my team in the short term until I get to be a little better. Next up are the Phoenix Suns. They exposed Pete Myers. He's a 24-year-old on a rookie deal, but he's yellow, only has 1B potential in steals. We've talked before, there are a lot of players with a better defensive potential combination here. So I don't think Pete has the chops. He is the trivia question in real life to who replaced the Chicago Bulls' Michael Jordan as their starting shooting guard, but you're not going to get anything there. The Portland Trail Blazers, I'm going to skip a lot of analysis simply because there was already posted a compensation payment from the Trail Blazers to have them take Threat in exchange for some second round picks. Threat's contract is, I think, a little bigger than it should be. He has not gotten a lot of playing time in Portland. Offensively, he's a little bit challenged. Defensively, again, a little bit above average, maybe a little bit undersized, has the jump shot, has the handles, has the passing. He's still 26, so if he has a great training camp, he might be able to be a starter. So he's what I would call a borderline starter. I think he's probably good as a backup bench player. You know, if he's coming off the bench to back up either guard spot, he'll be fine. You'd like him to be your fifth best starter, and he's not getting paid like that. But you know, the points and the picks have already made that decision. So he's going to be on the team. So I'm not going to do a lot more analysis on everybody else. Mike Brown, Mark Akers, Quentin Daly, James Donaldson, just for sake of completeness, were the other players that were exposed. Going on, we have the San Antonio Spurs, who exposed Mitchell Wiggins. Mitchell Wiggins really didn't play a huge part last season with the Spurs. He was kind of their backup off the bench at the wing position. He's a little bit undersized for a wing. Again, you've got the perimeter defense steal combination with some offense that we've seen in a lot of other players. His contract is about $750,000, so he's on par with the the contracts of some of the other guys that we've talked about. But at 28, he doesn't have the ability to pop. And I think, you know, if you're asking me, would I rather have him versus, say, Combs or Vincent or Cook, who have kind of the same skill set? I want Combs because he's younger. I want Vincent or Cook because they're a little better on the offensive or defensive end, respectfully. Frank Johnson without the handles, maybe. I could see him as a backup wing for the Hornets as well. So I'm going to leave him on the consider me list. He's probably toward the bottom. I don't think I grab him, but I can't rule him out because, again, I can see where he might fit in as a seventh or eighth man off the bench. The Clippers are next. They exposed Purvis Short and Marquez Johnson. Purvis Short is still able to fill it up even at the age of 31. But again, I would go with it's a trap. He's an exceptional offensive player, but he's making $2.6 million this year. And you can bet his offensive game is going to continue to erode. One of the things that really scares me about Purvis is if you look at the dip in field goal percentage last year to this year, he dropped from 44.6% to 41.7% shooting after moving over to San Diego from Milwaukee. So he can still fill it up. He's a walking bucket, and I wouldn't mind getting him at half that contract. But I think, for what he's making there, I would much rather have, say, a Jay Vincent. Marcus Johnson is another over 30 former scoring threat. He averaged 18.6 points last season. Again, the field goal percentage dropped about 3-4 points. Maybe a little better rounded than Purvis Short is on the defensive end. But again, a contract of $1.785 million, I just don't think, with his age and the fact that he's going to decline rapidly, and he's already in considerable decline, I think there are better options available. I wouldn't try to go out and build my roster around 30-year-olds unless they're, the Kevin McHale variety. Next up is the Supersonics. They exposed Otis Smith and Terry Catledge. Both of these guys are yellow. Both of them are still on rookie contracts, but are nothing special. I don't think there's enough meat on that bone to be worth chasing them. So I would say, leave them alone and move on. Next up is the Jazz. They exposed Kurt Rambis. Kurt's a very interesting player to me, not simply because he's a former Blazer, but also, if I remember correctly, Rambis was one of the players on the actual Charlotte Hornets expansion draft back in the day. And Rambis, though he is 30 and is going to be paid $1.5 million this season, and is not a great offensive player. You know, he's got 92 and 100 ratings in rebounding, 87 and 62 in blocks. He can still defend either the perimeter or the post. He's got over 50 in both of those. You're probably going to see a decline out of Kurt this year, but you've only got him for 1 year. And what you really haven't had so far available to you is a quality rebound option among the players in the draft. So I think I strongly consider taking Rambis as a one-year rental to give me a big man just to kind of get me through my first season so I don't get murdered on the boards. And last up is the Bullets. They exposed Edmund Sherrod. Sherrod is a point guard who is yellow-green. He's on a deal that pays him about $500,000. This is another guy that, you know, kind of goes with that, you know, high handles, high perimeter defense, high steal. The thing that worries me about him is his field goal percentage last year was under 40%. Now, granted, it's a small sample size, but he, even when he got big minutes his rookie year in Detroit, he's never been a scoring threat. In fact, he was a scoring black hole, averaging 3.5 points in 36 minutes a game. And he's clearly gotten better since then in terms of being able to score the ball. I don't think you have to worry about him averaging 3.5, but if you were to play him for, you know, 36 minutes a game now, I don't know that he could average 10 points a game. He just doesn't shoot well enough, doesn't have the athleticism with the strength and the jump to excite me. And I think there are more guys out there, again, just kind of going back to, you know, the Darwin Cooks and the Frank Johnsons. I think there are more guys out there that have his skill set and do it better at a similar price. So having been through everything, let's go over the players that I said I can't rule out. I have to kind of, you know, think about taking. And that was Darwin Cook of the Hawks, Presley of the Bulls, Vincent of the Cavaliers, Dennis Johnson of the Nuggets, Combs of the Pistons, Frank Johnson of the Rockets, Jeff Malone of the Pacers, Reggie Williams of the Kings, Kevin Duckworth of the Nets, Wiggins on the Spurs, Mitchell Wiggins, that is, and Kurt Rambis of the Jazz. And, of course, you have to take three because you've already agreed to compensation for that. So we're going to say three is the first pick you take. For me, the next guy I think I have to take is Rambis because I need that rebounding, and there's really nobody else available that's going to get that for me. And just kind of building from the top down, I think the next guy I take is Duckworth because he's the only other big that I think is really viable. He'll probably be my backup, but I think I have to have, you know, a second big. And plus, he's young, and I can build around him if he takes a jump in training camp. The next piece that I think I take, I probably look for a scoring forward, and I think that is Vincent. I honestly suspect Jay Vincent, if you build the team around him, could average 25 points a game this year. They're not going to have a lot of the other great offensive options. I really like the idea of the defensive backcourt, so I probably put together Cook, and I'm going to say Combs from the Pistons to give me that really lockdown starting backcourt. And then I take Frank Johnson over Dennis Johnson as my backup. Then the other thing that I want to do is I just want to accumulate pieces that I think can be useful. I think I take Jeff Malone as my scorer off the bench. And I probably take Reggie Williams and Wiggins from the Kings and Spurs. Wiggins can be my backup swingman, Reggie Williams. I'm not super excited about right now, but he's a piece that I think has the potential to grow. I could groom him. And if somebody gets injured in the 1, 2, or 3 spots, I can let him slide in and get some minutes. So Given that, my roster currently looks like Sadale Threet, Kurt Rambis, Kevin Duckworth, Jay Vincent, Darwin Cook, Combs, Frank Johnson, Jeff Malone, Reggie Williams, Mitchell Wiggins. That's 11 players. I've got a fairly solid rotation. It still gives me some room to bring in some guys in free agency. It gives me room to put my first round pick wherever he needs to go, really. If I can get a big man, I'm not thrilled with the Rambis-Duckworth combo. If I'm looking at who I actually probably start, if I'm trying to cobble together a starting lineup here, I think I probably start Rambis at center. Vincent can play power forward, and I think that's probably where I put him. Just for the size, I hate this, but I probably put Reggie Williams of the Kings. That was my starting small forward, but I'm really hoping to draft a player to plug into that spot. I'm going to put Cook and Combs as my starting guards. And then for backups, I got Duckworth to back up my bigs. I got Threet to back up my littles. And I got Jeff Malone at small forward shooting guard to give me offense off the bench. And then also on the roster, I've got Frank Johnson that I might try swapping in for Cook or Combs, but he's good if either one of them goes down. Or maybe I have him be my primary backup instead of Sadale Threet. And then I'm going to go with Mitchell Wiggins as a secondary backup behind Jeff Malone. So having done that, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to look what the actual Charlotte roster is. So the only one that I'm very sure will be the same is Sadale Threet, but we'll come back to it in just a moment.
Me. I just wanted to say hello.
Not another boring voicemail message.
Hold the phone! Before you delete that unwanted voicemail, think about those unfortunate people who never get any calls. Don't you think they'd want the message, even if you don't?
Gee, I guess so.
Then press 8 to donate. When you get a message you don't want, press 8. Your message will be forwarded to the mailbox of a fiber optic lonely heart.
Hey, this is Bill. I got your spreadsheet off the webpage, but I had some questions about the R&D headings. Give me a call.
Bill, I don't know what that meant, but you just made my day.
They may not understand the random messages they get, but they'll sure feel more connected. And isn't that what technology is all about?
You know, you're right. I'm going to press 8 to donate.
Hey, it's me. I just wanted to say hello. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Give me a call sometime. Bye.
I love you, random voice.
Press 8 to donate. Go ahead and touch someone. With other people's fingers.
And now it's time for your daily meditation with your host, Tim.
Hi. Today let's imagine a warm, moist, tropical rainforest during a gentle rain. Let's relax and enjoy the sounds of the rainforest. Oh, look, there's a cute little monkey. Hi, monkey. And a trombone. Let's imagine we're walking along a winding path through the dense foliage. We're not in a hurry, we're just enjoying the sights. The sounds, the smells. Excuse me. We're just walking along without a care in the world, not concerned at all with the slippery mud underfoot.
Whoa!
Or the anvil overhead. Oh dear, looks like you need an ambulance. Hope it doesn't lose traction in the soft brown mud. The accident seems to have frightened the monkey. And the trombone. And the drill press. And the flock of geese. And the class of second graders, and the monster truck.
Join us tomorrow for another daily meditation.
Okay, we are back, and over the break, I had a chance to take a look at the actual roster as drafted by Nick Malone. We'll go through his picks. He picked Darwin Cook of the Hawks, Lewis Lloyd of the Bulls, Jay Vincent of the Cavaliers, Ricky Pierce of the 76ers, Jeff Malone of the Pacers, Kevin Duckworth of the Nets, Reggie Williams of the Kings, Sadale Threet of the Blazers, Terry Catledge of the Sonics, and Kurt Rambis of the Jazz. So if I look at where we matched on Cook, we matched on Vincent, we matched on Malone, we matched on Duckworth, matched on Williams, matched on Threat, that was an easy one, matched on Rambus. The differences are I would have taken Wiggins from the Spurs, Combs of the Pistons, and Frank Johnson of the Rockets. And Nick wound up taking Lewis Lloyd of the Bulls, Ricky Pierce of the 76ers, and Terry Catledge of the Sonics. I'll be honest, I can understand the Ricky Pierce and Lewis Lloyd picks. I think they're, as I talked about when I was going through them earlier, Ricky Pierce was a guy I really struggled to eliminate. He's definitely an offensive player, and it looks like Nick decided he wanted to lean a little more into offense than defense with this lineup, which is fair. I think there are two, strategies. If you can't, everybody wants to be great at offense and defense, but the question is, if you can only be great at one, which do you pick? I think it's easier to see who's going to be good on offense. It's harder to see how good defenders are going to come together. And so I think that probably led to Nick going with Ricky Pierce and Lewis Lloyd over the Johnson and Combs picks, who I really picked more for their defense. Catledge kind of surprises me, mostly because I didn't see a ton in Terry Catledge. So I'm going back and looking at him, and on a second look, what I have to assume is going on here is Nick is looking at his athleticism, feeling like he needs another big man because he's only got Duckworth and Rambus, and the original expansion rosters were going to be a little bit thin on big men. And so now he's picking up a third big, which is probably wise. We saw what happened to the Kings a couple of seasons ago when Detlef Schrempf and his 65 rebounding was the only guy on the team that had over a 50. They got absolutely pulverized on the boards. And I don't think that's something that Nick wants. So it's a team that's a little more offensive focused. And by picking Terry Catledge over the likes of Frank Johnson, Combs, or Wiggins, it does give Nick another big. And so I do like that in terms of team balance. You want to make sure that you have enough to work with if somebody goes down. So having seen that, and looking now at the roster and kind of thinking about it, yeah, it makes sense. There was probably one more big man that wanted to be had. Whom would I have gone with if I had noticed I needed another big man? Looking back over what's on offer, the only guy that really jumps out to me is someone that I could say I could try to slide him in as a big man and get something out of him is Purvis Short. He's a little undersized for big man, has had the big rebounding in the past. I think his skills are starting to diminish in that regard. But one thing I do know is Kurt Rambus is going to get all of the rebounds he can eat. And I kind of wonder now if Kevin Duckworth is going to be pushed to the four as a center. I guess it depends a lot on whom Nick is able to draft. However, as I look over the draft preview, if you look at the draft as it stands, your top picks are shooting guard, point guard, shooting guard, center, point guard, center, shooting guard, shooting guard, center, shooting guard, point guard, small forward. So there is a chance that three big men come off the board. It's probably a small chance, but there is that chance that three big men come off the board and Nick is stuck taking another guard. It's a very deep draft for guards. I'll save draft analysis for another chat with a cat. But that is, in retrospect, something Nick needed to be thinking about is what is out there for me with my pick? And if he's worried that he's not going to be able to get a big, he has to lean a little more into trying to pick up a big in either the expansion draft or in free agency. And I don't think anybody knows how free agency is going to go. I mean, there's so much meat on the bone to pick this offseason. We had the expansion draft, which was fun. We've got a huge rookie draft coming. One of the things I think is interesting about the rookie draft, not to get too much into the draft itself, but it's the first time in a while that every team that was in the lotto, with one exception, and that was the Bullets, who traded their pick away to the Lakers late in the year when it was clear they had a very low chance of being a high draft pick. So all the bad teams have their own draft pick. And that is something that hasn't happened in a very long time. So all of these teams are needy. It's probably going to be expensive to trade into the draft. And I'm fascinated to see how it goes because there are so many teams that are, you know, last season the league was a little bit top heavy. There weren't a lot of great teams. And so there are a lot of teams that are looking to rebuild in the draft. And you have to wonder, you know, with these players, there's such a diversity of I guess, builds, you could call them. You've got guys that are all offense, guys that are all defense, guys that are kind of 50-50. But you don't have anybody that's great at everything. And so you're going to have to decide, where am I going to be weak and where is the hole in my roster going to come? And that's something that really intrigues me to watch as we get into the draft. But the other thing you have to take into account when you're looking to draft is, where are the strengths and weaknesses of the draft as a whole? And it's clear this draft is strong on guards, weak on bigs. So with you know, with the Hornets, you know, they're going to have to find bigs in free agency. Well, you know, maybe via trade. The other thing, though, and I will comment on this without going deeply into specifics, is I was looking around the league for what I would call well-balanced players. There are, of course, the superstars like the Magic Johnson. But in general, if you're not on the all-league team, there are very few teams that have a player that is above average on both the offensive and defensive end. Usually you'll get teams with a guy who's above average on offense, kind of a sieve on defense. And you have a few teams that are running with guys that are good on defense and kind of suck on offense. So we're still in that era of the league where you're having to make choices. Not everybody does everything well. We are seeing more and more superstars that do that, but there's one or two to a team. You know, Michael Jordan obviously does everything well. Hakeem Olajuwon does everything well. We talked about Magic Johnson before. So, you know, it's a league where more and more you're having to pick and choose, where are the holes in my roster going to come? And then by layering either with you know, guys that I've talked about before that are excellent at an odd rating for their position. And I would go back to Kurt Rambis as an example, someone who's a big man who gets a lot of steals. Or conversely, you might look for a guard that gets a lot of rebounds. I think these are ways in which you can expect the teams to try to cover their weaknesses. It's either that or you get somebody off the bench who's a complete change of pace from what you have as a starter. So real quick before I wrap up here, I want to go back to the Hornets' actual roster and try to do a little forecasting. Again, seeing how they put their roster together, I kind of think that they're going to lean into being an offensive-minded team rather than a defensive-minded team. So to me, that says Jay Vincent, Ricky Pierce, and Jeff Malone are going to get a lot of minutes. We already talked about, I think, Kurt Rambis gets a lot of minutes by virtue of being the only guy who can rebound. And then the question is, who's going to be their fifth starter? I think, you know, looking at them, you know, Vincent is offensive-minded, Pierce offensive-minded, Malone offensive-minded, Rambis defensive-minded. What they don't have is a good floor general. And I think they've only got two places for that. And that's either Threat out of Portland or that's Cook out of the Hawks. I've always seen Cook as more of a shooting guard than a point guard, but he's been kind of cast at point guard. And when he's been asked to do it in Seattle and in Washington and Atlanta, He's coming in with around 5 assists per game, which is not great. So if it's me, I kind of think I have to start trying Threat at the point just to see, does he have the chops to be a solid floor general? He never really got the opportunity. But if you look at his assist to turnover ratio in his very limited minutes with Portland last season, it was 2.46. It was 3.5 the year before that. In 11 minutes a game last season, he was putting up about 2 assists per game. So, you know, he can probably get to close to 8 if he's playing 40 minutes a game. But really the place to look is at some of the games where he had the opportunity to actually get significant minutes. And that came in a stretch late in the season and I'm saying this because I remember what caused it, when Quentin Daly went down with an injury, and then Threat kind of got thrown into the fire because I didn't have anybody else really to throw out there to try to soak up the minutes at both backup guard spots. And when he went out there and did that, he did okay as a floor general, honestly. He averaged about 20 minutes a game and averaged 3.5 assists. So if you extrapolate that to 40 minutes a game, which he's probably not going to get, maybe back that up to 36 minutes, but I think that means you're probably looking at 6 to 7 assists a game from Sedale. And to kind of counter the trivia question with Pete Myers replacing Michael Jordan, the guy who replaced Magic Johnson when Magic Johnson retired was Sedale Threat. So interesting that my knowledge of, I guess, 80s and 90s basketball comes into play a couple of times on this episode. One other fun real-life NBA fact, at least as far as I'm aware, Sedale Threat is the only player that was a teammate of Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Charles Barkley at various points in their careers. I believe he was with Barkley on the 76ers. He was with Jordan on the Bulls, obviously, and he was the teammate of Magic Johnson's briefly in Magic's Lakers run. So there you have it. That's going to be Chat for a Cat, the expansion draft version. If I have a little time, I'm hoping to get in before we get into the draft with a draft preview or into free agency with a free agency preview. As usual, I'm going to try to steer away from, exposing people in free agency. I don't think that's cool to do, but just kind of reacting generally to trends and things that I see. It's also interesting the cap went up so much, so there's one more thing to comment on. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this one up. This was a quick one, kind of an instant reaction to the expansion draft and looking forward to the off season. I'm sure there's a lot of wheeling and dealing to be done, and we'll see everybody in the NPBSL.